When it comes to history, few races compare to Canada's oldest thoroughbred horse race.
And coming into the stretch, it's Northern Dancer. He's pulling away now. Northern Dancer in front by three or four lengths. Langcrest is holding on to the second position. Grand Garçon is third and Return Trip. It's Northern Dancer. He moves out in front by eight lengths now with 70 yards to go. And coming down the wire, Canada's great little horse, Northern Dancer, wins handily by seven.
The mere mention of its name conjures memories of regal horses and legendary performances.
A 16th to the finish. Regal Intention by 3.5 lengths, and he's not going to be caught. Here's the finish. Regal Intention wins the Queen's Plate.
On the inside, it is Most Guide, but With Approval is strong. With Approval and Most Guide, they hit the wire together in a photo to win in the Queen's Plate.
Rich in tradition, immersed in lore and mystique, this is the Gallop for the Guineas.
They come to the final 16th. Petski is going to wire the field in the Queen's Plate. He goes to the front and makes every pole a winning one. Petski, a decisive winner of the Queen's Plate.
Final furlong. It is all Wando. Sharp, strong, and a dominating winner of the Queen's Plate. Wando, simply spectacular.
Wondering at odds in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate, ahead by a century and a second. But there's no doubt who's the best today, and it's all about Wondering at odds, Wonder Woman herself, demolishing them in the Queen's Plate. What a brilliant win!
Welcome to Woodbine and the 160th Queen's Plate.
Exclusive coverage of the 160th Queen's Plate on HRRN is presented by Hillendale Farms and Twin Spires. Now, let's go trackside at Woodbine Racetrack and join host Mike Penna.
Hello again, everyone, and a very pleasant good afternoon from Woodbine Racetrack in Toronto. Mike Penna alongside retired top trainer Jude Feld and Canadian Classic winning jockey Jerry Olguin. We are positioned high above the finish line, overlooking this sprawling 700-acre property, which is home to the first leg of Canada's Triple Crown, the Queen's Plate. The conditions, well, they couldn't be more perfect for the 160th renewal of the nation's oldest thoroughbred horse race and the oldest continuously run race in North America. We have temperatures hovering in the upper 70s, plenty of sunshine under robin-egg blue skies, a few popcorn-shaped puffy white clouds making their way across the skyline from time to time. There is a breeze blowing from our right to left, which is from the finish line down toward the top of the stretch. We'll be hitting the horses smack in the face as they turn for home and make that run for glory later today. It is simply a perfect afternoon for the sport of kings on Queen's Plate Day. The Gallop for the Guineas, as they call it, comes up at 5:36 Eastern. Jude, 14 Canadian-bred three-year-olds will go to the post hoping to etch their names forever in the history books.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've got Avi's Flatter, the morning line favorite, trained by the newest Hall of Famer, Josie Carroll. He's a talented horse. He's been off for almost 2 months, so it's going to take a great training job by Josie. She's certainly capable. She has another horse in there. He's a macho. She calls him her sleeper.
Well, look, if you're worried about that post position for Avi's Flatter, there has been some talk about that, breaking from the far outside. Look at recent history. Our good friend Dan Loisel, the former announcer here at Woodbine, pointed out to us that 7 of the last 16 horses to finish in the exacta, that is first or second, have come from post 10 or further out. So post 14 should not be an issue for Avi's Flatter.
Yeah, it's a mile and a quarter race. They got a long run into the first turn. Absolutely no problem for a horse with tactical speed. And I don't worry about posting the Kentucky Derby, and I'm not going to worry about it here.
All eyes on the Hall of Famer Josie Carroll, as Jude just alluded to. Another Hall of Famer, Mark Cassie, is back in the spotlight. That's a familiar spot for him. The 2-time Queen's Plate winner and 11-time Sovereign Award winner will send out Skywire and Federal Law.
Yeah, Skywire, he's a very talented horse. He won two races back, the Wando Stakes, very easily beat Global Aces, or Global Access, rather. Global Access came back today and did not win a race that he was heavily favored in. So I don't know what that means for form, but I like Skywire a little bit. He's got good speed. He's by a Fleet Alex who won the Preakness. There's lots of reasons to like him and the fact that he can get the distance.
We'll see jockeys making their first appearance in this race. We'll see trainers doing the same thing, including trainer Richard Baltus, who will saddle his first Queen's Plate starter, One Bad Boy, who comes in from California. Judy 7-2 on the morning line. That's good for second favorite. They like him a lot here.
Yeah, well, he's got some talent. He's a speedy sort, but I don't know how far he'll go, and a lot of the pundits are questioning his distance ability. A mile and a quarter is a long way, and he hasn't really even negotiated a mile and an eighth.
Another trainer making his first appearance in this race is the Hall of Famer Steve Asmussen. He has won more races than almost any trainer in the history of the sport, 8,400-plus to be exact. Jude, his first Queen's Plate starter here today, and he has a good one in Tone Broke.
Yeah, he really does, and, you know, the thing about him, he went to Dubai, and a lot of horses don't run well when they come back. He came back and ran the best race of his life. He ran second to King for a Day, who beat Maximum Security the other day at Monmouth Park, so he's got a lot of talent. We'll see what he can do this afternoon. He's never been on the all-weather surface, however.
Jerry, we were together last year, a little bit of a different location. We had a tent set up at the eighth pole right on the apron, and I remember it was a very windy day. We're getting a wind here today, too, but nothing like we had last year, and the temperature is much more pleasant. This is a special day. This is Canada's signature day of racing.
Yeah, it's an amazing day here. It's beautiful. I like sitting here on this press box. It's really nice, nice spot to watch this race.
You've had the privilege of competing in five of these Queen's Plates when you were riding races full-time. What is it about this race that makes it so special?
It's the greatest race in Canada. It's a prestige just to be part of this this race, just to ride on it. You don't care if you're 100-1 or whatever your odds are. You just want to be part of this this race because you can't win it and sit in the jocks room.
What's the key to working out a good trip, mile and a quarter, on this particular Tapeta racing surface?
Well, you gotta ride your own horse, and I think that's the key. And just get a nice clean break and have your horse settle early and come with a good run at the end.
And again, that Tapeta surface is always listed as fast. That's the beauty of an artificial racing surface. It is on the inside of the E.P. Taylor turf course, so kind of in the middle of now what is two turf courses here at Woodbine. Yesterday, they opened their new inner turf course, which is 7 furlongs on the inside of the Tapeta. But the main turf course on the outside, then the Tapeta on the middle, and then that inner turf course. So that is where they will contest the Queen's Plate later today on the Tapeta surface. Our Ashley Malou is joining us as the fourth member of our broadcast team today. She has more on what's happening with the atmosphere on this Queen's Plate day and a couple of other storylines to keep an eye on. Ashley?
Thanks, guys. I'm standing right in the winner's circle right now, taking a look at the grandstand, and it's quite full here. There's a lot of individuals here that keep on, you know, rolling in later for the races, and I'd say in the last hour, the crowd has really picked up for the last race. The apron was pretty much jam-packed. Something I've noticed is the fashion. The gentlemen and the ladies are all decked out, bow ties, beautiful fascinators, you name it, and some beautiful dresses. So everyone went all out today. You guys were just talking about the storylines in this year's Queen's Plate. Let's talk about the filly a little bit, Desert Ride. Talked the connections earlier today, and very high on this filly. She comes off an impressive win in the Oaks, and fillies have done so well here. Not only has Samson Farm have two winners, previous editions with Dance Smartly and Dance Through the Dawn, but, you know, the fillies in general have 37 wins, including last year's winner, Wonder Godot. Then another angle here is the maidens. There's two maidens in this edition of the Queen's Plate, both for the Mike DiPaolo Barn, Moon Swings, and Rising Star. And since 1956, the stat there is two maidens have won. So we saw Bodie Express in it, Farewell, in the American Triple Crown. So we'll see if maybe a maiden can get it done today in the Queen's Plate. Back to you guys.
All right, we'll hear more from Ashley throughout the afternoon. And it is going to be a very special afternoon. Still some 90 minutes away from the 160th running of the Queen's Plate. You're going to hear from Hall of Fame jockey Sandy Hawley. We'll hear from Hall of Fame trainer Mark Cassie and newly minted Hall of Fame trainer Josie Carroll. But when we come back, we'll bring you bonus coverage of the Grade 2 Dance Smartly. There are two races preceding the Queen's Plate here this afternoon, the Dance Smartly and the Grade 1 Highlander. We'll have both of those for you, and you'll hear from Ashley in the paddock. That's coming up next on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
You're listening to the 160th Queen's Plate on HRRN, presented by Hillendale Farms and Twin Spires.
And Lucas and Lurie's winding up nicely, but it'll have to go wide. Skinner's trying to get up the rail. They corner Big Classic in front. Skinner off the inside goes to second. And now releasing the brakes, Lucas and Lurie with one giant move down the outside. Lucas and Laurie coming on the outside to gobble them up. Lucas and Laurie has done just that, but drifted in. Skin at the inside. Lucas and Laurie straightens up and has it won. And finally, an overdue win for Lucas and Laurie by two lengths to Skinner. Four and a half to Big Classic, a weakening third, and then Moon Magic, 147-18.
That's Robert Keller with the call of Lucas and Laurie's maiden victory here at Woodbine back on November 30th of last year. Lucas and Laurie, one of the 14 contenders set to go to the post in the Queen's Plate later this afternoon. Lucas and Laurie, three-year-old gelded son of X-High, is an interesting story, JT. The name in itself is interesting. Lucas and Laurie, owned by Laurie Cirillo and Kelly Waxman. Now, Kelly Waxman has a two-year-old son, Lucas. Laurie Cirillo is just 15 years old, and so they said, you know what, we're going to name Lucas and Laurie after the two kids. So they went ahead and went with the name, and here they are in the Queen's Plate.
Yeah, it's got to be exciting for them. This horse broke his maiden here at Woodbine on November 30th. He's had two starts this year. The first one was really nondescript, but the second one on the turf was excellent. Came flying at the end, finished sixth, got beat 5.5 lengths in that race, and he's on his way up. It looks like he's going to have to run the best race of his life if he's going to win this race.
Young Laurie said that this is, of course, a gelded horse, so of course started out as a colt. And Laurie said, you know what, if we ever get the chance to own a filly, we're going to go ahead and name it Laurie and Lucas. I like the strategy. I think that's pretty good. Lucas gets top billing here today, and he'll take it in the 160th running of the Queen's Plate. Well, told you that there are two races preceding the Queen's Plate, the Grade 2 Dance Smartly and Grade 1 Highlander. The Dance Smartly is now just 5 minutes away. The horses have made their way onto the track for the post parade. A field of eight set to go, and we start with a former Queen's Plate winner. The 2017 winner is back here on the turf, mile and a quarter. That is Holy Helena, owned by the Stronach Stables, ridden by Hall of Fame jockey Javier Castellano for trainer Jimmy Jerkins, 9-5. Number two is Art of Almost. Kazushi Kimura is the jockey. Roger Atfield, your Hall of Fame trainer, 18-1. Number three is Empress of the Nile. Grand Motion Trains. Drayden Van Dyke is aboard. They are 9-1. Number four, Starship Jubilee. Kevin Attard trains. Luis Contreras rides. They're on the board at 3-1. Number five, Get Explicit. Patrick Husbands, the native of Barbados, is in the irons for trainer Barbara Minchel. And Get Explicit, a long shot at 15-1. Number six is Carta Bianca. Alan Garcia rides for trainer Roger Atfield. Carta Bianca, the French bred, 20-1. Number seven, Lift Up. Michael Dickinson trains, gives a leg up to jockey Alex Cintron. They are 7-1. And number eight is Rock My Love. Jonathan Thomas, the trainer. Flavion Pratt is the jockey, and they are 7-2 from the outside post here in the upcoming Dance Smartly. Well, just a short time ago, Ashley had a chance to catch up with trainer Kevin Attard and talk to him about his contender in this Dance Smartly.
Thanks, Mike. I'm joined right now by Kevin Attard, who's got a big day ahead of him with Starship Jubilee in the Dance Smartly, and then two runners in the Queen's Plate. Let's talk about Starship. She's made quite the name for herself when you claimed her back 2 years ago for $16,000. She comes off a second-place finish in the Grade 2 NASA. How's she been training?
She's been training really well. She's coming off of a good race in the NASA where she just got beat. So today we're stretching out to a mile and a quarter. It's probably as far as she wants to go, but it's here in our backyard, so she's worked really well last week. I'm happy with the way she's heading into it.
Did you have to do anything extra in the mornings to get her to the mile and quarter?
We've been just working on trying to get her to settle because sometimes she can be a little headstrong, and ideally I'd like to see her come off the pace, but there isn't a whole lot of pace in this race, so we'll just have to let Louie kind of play it by ear and take it from there. If we're on the lead, we just have to try to kind of slow it down as much as possible.
Now, in the Queen's Plate, in 2007, you sent out your first horse, Alessandro. He did make the lead late, and he was just caught in the final stages by Mike Fox. You still did get the classic win next time out at Fort Erie in the Prince of Wales. Now you send out two today, Lucas and Laurie and Jam and Still. How have they been training? One space stakes competition, the other, this will be some deeper waters.
Definitely. Lucas Laurie's moving up in class considerably, but he's a horse that should get a mile and a quarter, no problem. He's got a perfect running style, I think, for this kind of a race. There seems to be a lot of speed, so hopefully he just makes a good run and shows a good account for himself. And Jammin' Still, he was a big disappointment last time in the Plate trial. He had run so well first time out that we were expecting a good performance. Was a bit of a letdown, came out of the race in good shape, worked really well in the interim, so we're hoping for the best.
Best of luck, Kevin.
Thank you.
All right, Kevin Attard with our Ashley Malou, and a busy man today, not only in this Dance Smartly, but certainly looking ahead to the Queen's Plate. Jerry, the Dance Smartly, he'll saddle Starship Jubilee, as he just talked about, and this is a six-year-old mare, daughter of Indy Wind, and you got a chance to see her quite a bit in the mornings out here at Woodbine.
Yeah, actually, I watched her last work, and she did the last 3/8 of a mile in 35 flat, so yeah, she finished the work really good and had a good gallop out, and she I see her gallop in the morning there, too. She looks really nice on the track.
Are there things that Kevin will do with her? Ashley talked about the mile and a quarter. Are there things that you saw in the work that he's doing with her to get her ready to go that mile and a quarter today?
Well, I think they just try to keep this horse happy. I mean, he knows her really good. I think he claimed this horse for $16,000 at Gulfstream a while ago. But I think you just try to get this horse, keep him happy. And I think the happy horses seem to run good.
Yeah, another happy horse is Holy Helena, number one, the 2017 Queen's Plate winner. She is ultra talented. I'm sure you've gotten a look at her from time to time, too, being up here at Woodbine. Holy Helena, really good.
Yeah, she's stable at the Mike Doyle's barn. I think they look after her when she ships into town. And she's familiar with this racetrack. So it's like her hometown, too. She won the Queen's Plate before, so she's a nice horse.
Yeah, she really enjoys being up here, I think. And you're right about being over at Mike's. We went to see her there the year that she won the Queen's Plate. So she's familiar with those surroundings, and she's like the queen over there. They treat her with utmost respect.
Yes, they love her there.
Number 8, Rock My Love, getting a lot of play in here, too. She is 7-2. That is good for the third choice in the wagering currently as the horses begin to make their way toward that starting gate. Jude, Rock My Love for Jonathan Thomas and Flavion Pratt making her North American debut here this afternoon.
Yeah, she comes to the United States with a 108 racing post rating. That's certainly in the realm of winning a grade two here in the United States. Flavion Pratt is a difference maker as a rider. He always seems to have his horses in a good position turning for home. If she's fit and ready, she's going to be very tough today.
Yeah, the 4-year-old daughter of Holy Roman Emperor could be tough. She has raced 6 times. 2 wins and a second. They have reached the starting gate. They are now beginning to load for this mile and a quarter journey. It will be contested on the E.P. Taylor Turf Course here at Woodbine. Again, not quite the race preceding the Queen's Plate. That's the Highlander. That comes up next. But this 2 races prior to the Queen's Plate, which is set for 5:36 Eastern Time. Number 4, Starship Jubilee. Just told you about her. She moves into line like a consummate professional. Number 5, Get Explicit under Patrick Husbands comes forward. Here's number 6, Carta Bianca moving into line. No problems there. Lift Up and Rock My Love, the final 2 to load. Lift Up moving in. Those familiar green and white silks of Augustan Stable. And the outside horse is Rock My Love. Same silks there. The stable mates breaking from post 7 and post 8. Robert Geller with the call. The grade 2, Dance Smartly.
And they're off. And boring out was Rock My Love as they broke. Holy Helena out of Almost Away Well with Starship Jubilee, and sent up on the outside is Rock My Love. And going to the front, it is going to be Flavion Pratt with Rock My Love breaking out to about a 3-length advantage. Holy Helena second, 1.5 lengths out of Almost in third, and then Empress of the Nile. Getting in behind them is Starship Jubilee on the inside. Carta Bianca the outer. Get Explicit is back second last, and 2.5 away last is Lift Up. About 12 lengths covers them, and breaking right away in front, it is Rock My Love. Rock My Love by 4 lengths. In second, Holy Helena stalks about 2.5 out of Almost right behind. And 1.5 lengths away came Empress of the Nile on the inside. Then Carta Bianca. Behind them, Get Explicit nudging up. Starship Jubilee is back to second last. And 1.5 away last is Lift Up. Out with the lead remains Rock My Love. No challenges yet. Rock My Love sweetly in front. About 4 lengths to Holy Helena. Getting to work, Get Explicit rushes up on the inside and has gone up to share second. And they're closing on the leader a little bit now. Art of Almost has traveled okay, 1.5 lengths away. On the inside, Empress of the Nile, then Carta Bianca. And at the back, Starship Jubilee. And on the inside is Lift Up. They race inside the final half mile in the Dance Smartly. Rock My Love being chased by Get Explicit. And they're out by 3 lengths. Holy Helena yet to be fully extended, but it is certainly now the crunch time. They're sprinting. And then Art of Almost, Carta Bianca, running on well, Starship Jubilee. And back on the inside, Empress of the Nile, and Lift Up is last. Down the lane in the Dance Smartly. Out in front, Rock My Love, and now called on Holy Helena, Art of Almost, and Starship Jubilee. The leader remains Rock My Love. Rock My Love, 2 in front. Holy Helena gradually coming. Holy Helena gradually gets the lead, and Holy Helena in front. Starship Jubilee out of Almost, and on Queen's Plate Day, how appropriate, Holy Helena by a length in the Dan Smartly. Starship Jubilee second, out of Almost third, and then Rock My Love to 2.08.
Well, the 2017 Queen's Plate winner going back to the winner's circle here at Woodbine on Queen's Plate Day, Holy Helena, with a hellacious run from off the pace here today. Jude, this was a determined victory from this filly.
Yeah, she really seems to be rounding back to form. She's got a lot of talent. She's a fun horse to watch run. We certainly enjoy watching her run because we were here when she won the plate. And, you know, I'm happy that she won today in front of her favorite fans.
Jerry, I call her a filly. She's now 5 years old. Hard to believe. Five-year-old mare is Holy Helena. What was the key to victory here today?
I don't know. Castellano, he seemed so patient on this horse. He just let that horse go in the lead, and he just sat back there and just waited for home and made his move, and the horse responded very well for him.
Yeah, 202.08, the final running time for the mile and a quarter on the turf course. That's not too bad.
No, that's a good time. Nice firm course. Yeah, the horse was very impressive.
Yeah, number 8, Rock My Love, looked at one point like she might be home free. She dug in gamely in her North American debut, just came up a little bit short here today. She got a little tired at the end, JT.
Well, when she broke to the outside, that hurt her a little bit, and that forced Flavian to really have to straighten her out and kind of get her going, and I think that took a little bit out of her. I think if she had broken well, she might have been able to pull off the steal, but just wasn't her day today. But it was a good debut, and you can imagine there'll be some great races for her in the future.
Yeah, backed up, faded to fourth. How about Starship Jubilee, who we talked about in the pre-race, Jerry? She ends up second in here at odds of 2-1, and Starship Jubilee, a six-year-old mare. The old mare still has it.
Yes, they brought her from off the pace. They did try a different strategy with her today, and she came from back on slow fractions, and she made a really good run.
Yeah, it seemed to work. How can that affect a horse when you take them out of their usual game that they're used to? I mean, obviously it worked fine for Starship Jubilee, but is it a bit of a risk?
Well, of course it's a risk, especially in a big race like this. You take a chance, and, obviously Kevin knows his horse good, so, he tried something different today, and it worked for them.
Nice ride by Luis Contreras as well, as he'll have to settle for second behind Holy Helena, but pretty good runner-up effort from Starship Jubilee. It was Art of Almost, number 2, who is going to round out the trifectas, and then the pace setter, Rock My Love, the German bred, winding up 4th. So 1-4-2-8, your top 4 finishers unofficially here in the Grade 2 Dance Smartly Stakes this afternoon. JT, it kind of sets the stage for what might be coming later on. We look ahead to the Queen's Plate, and Javier Castellano going to be aboard the favorite in there, Aviz Flatter. And he'll have to break from the outside post. We touched on that at the top of the show. Shouldn't be an issue for him. The Hall of Famer already off to a great start here today.
Yeah, it's really going to be a fantastic event.
All right, more on that in just a minute. Let's head trackside and check in with Ashley. Ashley?
Starship Jubilee had to settle for second, but she was coming on late. Luis Contreras is next to me right now. What do you think today? The pace didn't really help early on.
No, the pace was really slow, but Kevin told me to just to get this horse as much relaxed as we can. We need to make a little far for the filly, but that's why we're trying to get in so slow early and get me a nice kick at the end.
She actually handled the mile and a quarter quite nicely today.
Yeah, well, it surprised me how quick came back to me after the break. And middle of the first turn, another horse came beside me. It was a little bit ranked, but she came back to me really nice. And I'm really happy the way she ran. I know mile and a quarter is a little far for her, but I'm so glad that we did. At least we finished second. She was trying at the end.
All right, thanks, Louis. Back to you, Mike.
Yeah, a happy Luis Contreras. I did it too. Luis Contreras here at Woodbine this afternoon. We're going to get to a break. When we come back, we'll have all the prices from the Dance Smartly, and Jerry sits down with Hall of Fame jockey Sandy Hawley. You're listening to the 160th Queen's Plate on HRRN, presented by Hillendale Farm and TwinSpires.com.
You're listening to the 160th Queen's Plate on HRRN, presented by Hillendale Farms and Twin Spires.
back on the inside. Empress of the Nile and lift up his last. Down the lane in the Dance Smartly. Out in front, Rock My Love. And now called on Holy Helena, Art of Almost, and Starship Jubilee. The leader remains Rock My Love. Rock My Love, two in front. Holy Helena gradually coming. Holy Helena gradually gets the lead. And Holy Helena in front. Starship Jubilee, Art of Almost, and on Queen's Plate Day, how appropriate, Holy Helena by a length in the Dance Smartly. Starship Jubilee second, Art of Almost third, and then Rock My Love to 2.08.
Today kicks off the $5,000 Summer Stakes Series on TwinSpires.com. 10 races from Woodbine and Arlington are the key to earning bonus cash, and a $10 win bet will get you in the game. Yeah, it's that simple. Saturday's contest races are the Chicago Handicap from Arlington and the Queen's Plate at Woodbine. And remember, Saratoga and Del Mar are just around the corner. Don't miss out on the summer racing season. Join TwinSpires today. New members, enter offer code HRRN at sign-up time and get your first $10 bet absolutely free. Go to twinspires.com/offers using offer code HRRN for full contest details and opt in now. Well, you heard the call of the Grade 2 Dance Smartly coming out of that commercial break. Holy Helena getting the victory for trainer Jimmy Jerkins under Hall of Famer Javier Castellano. Racing in those black and red silks of owner Stronach Stables, the 5-year-old daughter of Ghost Sapper was bred in Ontario by Adina, and she is out of a Holy Bull mare by the name of Holy Grace. And Jude, she looked impressive here today.
She did. Number one, Holy Helena paid $470, $270, $250. Number four, Starship Jubilee, $290 and $270. Number two, Art of Almost, $510. The $2 Exacta paid $15. The 20-cent Trifecta, $9.41. The 20-cent Superfecta, $42.32. The $2 Daily Double paid $23.40. And the 20-cent Pick 3 returned $4.52.
All right, the Queen's Plate coming up in just a little bit. One more race to go before that. It's the Grade 1 Highlander, still 20 minutes away from that one, and we'll take you right up to post time, tell you more about it as we get closer. But Hall of Fame jockey Sandy Hawley is a familiar face here at Woodbine. He has won as many Queen's Plates as any jockey in the history of the sport, and earlier he took the time to sit down with Jerry.
Sandy, you had 4 Queen's Plate winners, which is, I rode in 5 of them. The closest I got was 5th, so it's amazing that you won 4.
Well, I rode in 6 Kentucky Derbies, and close I could finish was 3rd. So
that's how hard it is to win any race.
So. Any of the big races, for sure.
What was your best Queen's Plate memory?
You know what? They're all great, Jerry. You know, anytime you can ride in the Queen's Plate, and especially win it, it's a great thrill and an honor. But I'd have to say in 1978, I rode a horse called Regal Embrace. And Regal Embrace was trained by Mac Benson, and he had the horse perfect for the race. And it was actually owned by E.P. Taylor. And 12 years before that, I was at Mr. Taylor's farm looking for a job, just as a hot walker or a groom, and just wanted to try and be a jockey. So now here I am in the winner's circle with Mr. E.P. Taylor with Regal Embrace. So that was pretty special, Jerry.
That's amazing. What was your preparation like? Because now the jockeys, they get videos and they can see all this stuff. Before, when you rode it, like, how did you get to know the horse?
Well, you know what? Of course, as you know, you've probably ridden the horse 2 or 3 times before. You ride him in the Queen's Plate. And, of course, some I was more confident than others. Some were long shots. So, you know, when you're riding one of the favorites, of course, you're very confident going in that you can win the race. But, you know, you go out there, doesn't matter what odds you are, the horses can't read the odds board, so you strive to try and win that race. And as you know, Jerry, before we go out, we look at the racing form, we see how the horse runs, looking at the form, and we try and pick his best race and try and ride him according to that. And, you know, when I won the 4 Queen's Plates, they're like 2nd or 3rd favorites, so I was very confident with them going in.
This week we're celebrating Canada Day, and this is Canada's biggest horse race. How did it feel like after you win it? What was the feeling that you got?
You know what? It was tremendous. And sometimes it doesn't sink in till later on. Like the fanfare, you have the flowers put on you, on your lap and everything, and everybody's excited. And so sometimes once you calm down, the next day you go, wow, I can't believe I just won the Queen's Plate. Yeah. And it was a tremendous feeling. I remember the first one I won on Almoner was Jerry Levine was the trainer, and he invited me out to the celebration party afterwards. And I wasn't a drinker, Jerry. and I had like 3 or 4 glasses of champagne, and I had a bad, bad headache the next day. I remember that one for sure.
Yeah, okay. What is your, you figure it was your best Queen's Plate, right? Like you said, you shouldn't have won, and you did such a great job that you got the money.
Yeah, I think it was, again, in 1978 with Regal Embrace. Like, I won on L'Angeleur, he won easy. I won on Kennedy Road, he won easily as well. Almoner was a little bit tougher because it was a filly called Framfreluche, who was a really tough filly that year. And he ended up winning by about a length and a half. But Regal Embrace, we won by like a half a head.
Right.
And Overskate was the favorite that year. And Regal Embrace, he actually ended up going wire to wire. I talked to Mr. Benson before the race. And he said, you know what, if you can be on an easy lead, go ahead and be on an easy lead. But if not, just lay just off the pace. And we were. We were on an easy lead the whole way down the back stretch. And then around the turn, Mr. Benson said, you know, when you get to the head of the stretch, just try and open up as far as you can. And I think halfway around the final turn, I asked him to run, and I just tried to open up as far as I could. And we opened up 3 or 4 lengths, and we won by a half a head. Overskate was flying at the end. So I think that was probably my best one.
So if you wouldn't have done that, you probably wouldn't have won.
If I hadn't have opened up, I think Overskate would have got us. Yeah. Rob Platts rode an absolutely perfect race that day, too. He saved ground on the inside and then wheeled him out at the head of the stretch. But we just got lucky to open up those 2 or 3 lengths and be able to hold on by a head.
The favorite for this year's Queen's Plate, AB's Flatter, breaks from post 14. What strategy would Javier Castellano need to use to win this race?
Well, the good thing, Jerry, is that you have a good run before you get to that first turn. You have almost 3/8 of a mile, a little over 1/4 mile before you get to that first turn. So you're going to have time to get in position. And what's her name? Lexi Liu won from the 14th post in 2014. And so I don't think it's going to be a problem at all. He's definitely the favorite. If I could ride any horse in a race, it would be AB's Flatter for sure.
What was the post position that you got that you didn't think you could win one?
You know what? When you're down in the one hole, you know, sometimes you think, man, I wish I wasn't down stuck in this one hole. So that was, I think, the toughest post. And when I saw Josie Kerr, when somebody else picked the one hole and she had the last pick, and I figured now she's going to end up with a 14 hole, I think she was a lot happier being in the 14 than being in the one. So if you don't get a good break, you might be in trouble.
Right. So you got to meet the queen when you won the Queen's Plate? Or
no, actually, the years that I won the Queen's Plate, unfortunately, the queen wasn't here. The year that Royal Chocolate won the Queen's Plate, Teddy Colangelo won the race, so he was in the winner's circle with the queen. But I did have an opportunity to meet the queen in the paddock, which was really, really nice.
Nice.
Remember, I had hair down on my shoulders. She must have wondered, who in the heck is this?
Thank you very much, Sandy. It was nice interviewing you, and everybody looks up to you here, and you're a great jockey and a great person.
Well, thank you, buddy. I think you're a great rider as well, and I think you did an awesome job with your very first interview. Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, what's more flattering, to have a Hall of Famer say you're a great writer or to say that you did a great job with your first interview?
Both, actually.
Well done. How cool is that? Sandy Hawley, 4 Queen's Plate victories. What was it about Sandy Hawley that made him so good, Jerry?
I think just his attitude. I think his attitude, just the riding. And, I remember he always came wide and gave horses a chance to extend their legs and run. And I think horses just run for him.
And they ran for him, and they ran for him very, very well in that Hall of Fame campaign. Well, as we look back on those great Queen's Plate moments provided by Hall of Fame jockey Sandy Hawley, we also remember another Hall of Famer who passed away just 12 days ago. The horse racing community mourning the loss of Gustav Schickendance, who passed away on June 17th. Known to his friends as Gus, Gustav owned Schaumburg Farm in King Township, Ontario, and campaigned 2 Queen's Plate winners, Woodcarver in 1999 and Triple Crown winner and Canadian Horse of the Year Wando in 2003. Gus was inducted into the Canadian Racing Hall of Fame in 2009 and received the E.P. Taylor Award of Merit, recognizing his lifelong dedication and commitment to thoroughbred racing at the 2018 Sovereign Awards held in April. Gustav Schickendance, remembered by many on this Queen's Plate Day. We're back with more right after this on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Yeah. This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
You're listening to the 160th Queen's Plate on HRRN, presented by Hillendale Farms and Twin Spires.
And they come to the quarter pole, and Regal Intention is there by 2.5, and he looks strong. Oh, he's asking Regal Classic to put in his run, and Vasquez drops Granacus to Regal Classic's inside. It's Regal Intention by 2. Regal Classic trying to catch him from second. Granacus is third, and the lone filly Grayscale is putting in a run in the far outside. A 16th to the finish. Regal Intention by 3.5 lengths, and he's not going to be caught. Here's the finish. Regal Intention wins the Queen's Plate. Regal Classic second, Granacus third, and Grayscale fourth.
Welcome back to Woodbine in Toronto. Mike Penna, Jude Fell, Jerry Olguin, Ashley Malou, and our producer Michelle Penna bringing you coverage of the 160th running of the Gallop for the Guineas, the Queen's Plate, which is set for 5:36 Eastern Time. That call, Regal Intention. Dan Loisel with the call back in 1988. Regal Intention, one of five Queen's Plate winners for historic Samsun Farm. And in the upcoming Grade 1 Highlander, they've been even better. They've won six of those. No ownership group in the history of the sport has won more editions of the Grade 1 Highlander. The horses are in the paddock, and that is where we find our Ashley Malou. Ashley?
Thanks, Mike. I'm joined by Michael Blaz of Samsun Farm, who, sending out El Tormenta from the Gale Cox Barn. Recorded the first stakesman last time out in the Connaught Cup. How do you feel coming into this race today?
We feel really good about him. You know, he came out of the race really, really well. His last breeze was awesome, and it was just a horse that's been improving for a long time, and obviously last time out you could kind of see, you know, the product of him constantly getting better, but he's really kind of settled down this year and been able to actually rate and relax, and I think that's made a big difference for him.
He definitely seems as though he's matured as a four-year-old, like you mentioned. He's just gotten better, and today he'll have a slight cut back into the 6 furlong distance. Does that concern you at all?
No, we kind of had to choose between the mile race and that race with him. We knew we were going to be in one of them, and although he looked like he was going to get the ground going a mile, just prefer to have a little bit of pace set up early for him to chase. You know, he seems to relax when he has a target and run like he has his tail on fire when he's on the lead. So we just thought it was a better spot for how he's been running and how we want to kind of continue to see him run.
Now, they've won six of the Highlanders so far, and the Queen's Plate has also been very nice to you guys. You have five wins, two of which were with fillies. Today you have another filly in, Desert Ride. Talk about her a little bit.
She's obviously really special for us. She comes from a really special family. Her Grand Dam actually was our last Oaks winner, and she produced a plate winner and a plate runner-up. And it's the first foal from her dam who, you know, didn't make too many starts, but her starts were really impressive. So it's just a really exciting time for everybody at the farm. And, you know, being an owner breeder, you know, we've put so much time and love into the horse, and everybody on the farm, you know, was kind of really stuck in on her. So it's just really special to have one that's, you know, doing what we think they can do when everything goes right.
So. Now, the draw was just a few days ago. You guys had a couple options as to where to put her in the starting gate, and you drew and decided to take the rail. What was the decision there?
Well, you know, obviously something a little bit more neutral would have been ideal, but having to choose between that and the far outside, we felt that, you know, if she's on the rail, it's the shortest way around, as they say, but also a little bit of the speed might kind of carry her into a more naturally forwardly placed position without taxing her too much and be within striking distance at the top of the lane. Hopefully some of the horses to her outside have kind of fallen off and given her a little bit of room to work with. But it was a bit of a, you know, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't, and we kind of picked the lesser of two evils. We preferred to be inside.
We're wishing the best of luck to Samsun Farm, who has a lot of horses on the card and a chance to maybe even win the Queen's Plate.
Let's hope so. Thank you.
Back to you, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Ashley. Yeah, Samsun Farm, so prominent in Canadian racing lore and certainly in Queen's Plate history and in the history of the Highlander, as you just heard. Interesting, though, guys, when he talked about Desert Ride, the filly breaking from post one in the Queen's Plate later today, the way they do the post draw here, it's a little bit different than what we see in America. And we did see it like this for the Kentucky Derby for a short time, where they actually draw the order that you will choose your post position, then the connections get to come up and choose. So in this instance, Jerry, for example, Desert Ride, there were other options. They chose to be down in the one hole. And you heard Michael there in the interview talk about how they thought, well, it's the shortest way around. But then when you interviewed Sandy Hawley a short time ago, Sandy said, you don't want to be in the one hole. So which one is it?
That's what they call it, horse racing, I guess. It just it doesn't matter what number you got. If you got the horse, you're going to win, I think. You know, like you got to have racing luck no matter what.
Well, she has a pretty good jockey on her. That is Stephen Bayon, who is somebody who is no stranger to winning the Queen's Plate. He pulled off the biggest upset in the history of the race back in 2002 with a horse by the name of TJ's Lucky Moon at odds of 89-1.
Yeah, 15 years ago today, I think that's when he won this this race. So, yeah, maybe he can do it again.
Jude, can she work out a good trip from down there?
Oh, I think so. She's kind of paceless. She doesn't have a lot of early speed. So she's going to break and settle, and it's going to be up to Steve to weave his way through traffic. But that's what she's used to doing. She's a very talented filly. She has an excellent trainer in Neil Howard. We know she'll be fit. We know she can get a mile and a quarter. I think she has a big chance today.
Well, again, that race coming up at 5:36 Eastern, the 160th renewal of the Gallop for the Guineas. The Grade 1 Highlander Stakes is just over 4 minutes away, and the field of nine, including El Tormenta, who Michael just talked about, the Samson Color Bearer, are on the track directly below us in the post parade. They're moving from our right to left past the finish line for the first time. Let's go ahead and meet the entire field as they get set to sprint 6 furlongs on a firm turf course. 9 horses going in this Grade 1 with a purse of $300,000. Number 1, Extravagant Kid, trained by Brandon Walsh. Rafael Hernandez is the pilot.
Number 1, Extravagant Kid. He's won 2 out of his last 3.
2 out of his last 3, and could be tough here today. On the board right now, it's 7-1. Number 2, that is Caribou Club, Drayden Van Dyke in the irons for Tom Proctor.
His last victory came in the Joe Hernandez Stakes. That's a Grade 3 at Santa Anita on New Year's Day. He went over to Dubai, finished 13th, but he's back in North America now, and we'll see what he can do.
And he's 5-2 in post number 2 for Glen Hill Farm. Number 3, El Tormenta, Samson Farm, the owner. Luis Contreras, the jockey, gets a leg up from trainer Gail Cox.
El Tormenta, Gail Cox, I exercised horses for her last year. She's a great trainer, and this horse is known as Eddie around the barn, and he's on his home turf.
Yes, he is. Eddie, 7-1 from post 3. Number 4 is Super Smart, racing in the colors of Live Oak Plantation. Mark Cassie, the Hall of Fame trainer, Eurico Da Silva, the pilot.
His last victory came here at Woodbine last year, June 29th of 2018. That was in an allowance race. Last time out, he finished 2nd in another allowance race. He's in excellent form.
18-1 on Super Smart. Number 5 is Detroit Steel. Phil Boudhu is the owner of Detroit Steel. Clint Abraham is the trainer, and Justin Stein, the jockey.
Detroit Steel, he seems to be a little overmatched here. I don't know. Maybe he'll run the rest of his life today.
Yeah, he could. He's going to need it. He's 30-1, just 1 for 25 lifetime is Detroit Steel. Number 6, Tricks to Do. Owned by Lyle Stable, trained by Arno Delacour, ridden by jockey Junior Alvarado.
He's had most of his success at shorter distances. Last time out in the turf sprint at Pimlico going 5/8, he finished a late running 3rd.
And he's on the board right now at odds of 12-1. Number 7, Wet Your Whistle, owned by David Palmer, trained by Mike Trombetta, ridden by Alex Cintron.
He's 1 for 1 at the distance, and he's won the last 3 races he's run. He seems to have confidence in him.
Yeah, 3-1 on Wet Your Whistle. Number 8 is White Flag. Robert Evans is the owner. Javier Castellano, the Hall of Fame jockey, and he'll get the leg up from trainer Christophe Clement.
He won the Turf Sprint Championship at Aqueduct at Thanksgiving time last year. He's only had 1 start this year. It was going a mile, which is too far for him. He showed great speed and got a little tired at the end to be beaten 3 lengths.
White Flag getting some play, 3-1. And the outside horse, number 9, is Yorktin, owned by Chiefswood Stable. Stuart Simon trains Jesse Campbell. Will ride.
Yorktin, this is the barn that I work for currently. Yorktin, he's got speed, and I think today from the outside they're going to try to use it.
All right, we'll find out if that works. He's 15-1 from post 9 is Yorktin. And that's the field for the Grade 1 Highlander. 6 furlongs on a firm turf course. Horses completing those final preparations will be underway shortly. For more on this field, let's head down trackside and get a check from Ashley. Ashley?
Thanks, Mike. You know, we talked about the weather a little bit earlier and how it is. It's in the higher 70s, but it is quite sticky. The humidity is quite high. Looking at the horses on the track, I thought 2 horses that stood out and seemed to be handling the weather is El Tormenta And then the 8, that is White Flag. Both of them looked physically very good on the track, not too sweated up. You know, most of the horses were probably hosed off or sponged off before the race. They looked very nice warming up. And I think White Flag, you know, the question is the layoff, but I did like the way he physically looked. And he does have a start here at Woodbine. It was over a soft going. He'd probably be my top pick just based on looks and his performances. Back to you, Mike.
Ashley, this is the race before the Highlander. How's the atmosphere there as we build closer to the Queen's Plate? I should say the race before the Queen's Plate. How's the atmosphere?
Well, I'm standing, again, next to the winner's circle, and it's kind of getting crowded. I'm getting a little packed in here. It's definitely becoming more lively. You heard the crowd a lot in the last race, so I can only imagine what it's going to be like come time to the plate.
Yeah, the party continues here at Woodbine. It's been a festive day. We've seen various displays of pageantry throughout the afternoon, including the Lieutenant Governor, Elizabeth Dowswell, who made her way here shortly before we came on the air at 4 o'clock Eastern. She received the bouquet of flowers. She was escorted by the mounted escorts, and she will present the trophy for the to the winning connections for the Queen's Plate later today. And, Jude, that's one of the great things about international racing. We say the same thing when we go to Barbados, the pageantry. We saw the Toronto Police Mounted Unit and the Governor General's Horse Guards come in on horseback. That was so cool to see. It's a special thing when you come to an international event.
Yeah, it really is, and especially one that has English influence. And we get that in Barbados, and we get that here in Canada. It's a fantastic display of culture, and really enjoy seeing that, and the fans love it, and beautiful pageantry. Nothing beats it.
Bands have been playing throughout the afternoon. We've seen performances by the Toronto Police Pipe Band, and the drinks are flowing. The official drink of the Queen's Plate, the Blue Diamond. Did you ever try that, Jer?
Yes, I did. I tried one last year, and when we're done here today, I'm trying another one.
I like your style.
Good man. Number 3, El Tormenta, moves into line under Luis Contreras. Here comes number 4, Super Smart. The white soaks with the red dots, those the colors of owner's Live Oak Plantation. The gray, Detroit Steel, under Justin Stein, appropriately named. He is really a steel gray looking son of Fastnet Rock. Here comes number 6, Tricks to Do. He moves in like an old pro. Number 7, Wet Your Whistle for Mike Trombetta is in line. Javier Castellano, the Hall of Famer aboard White Flag, moving forward. And the outside horse, number 9, Yorkton, under Jesse Campbell, coming up now. Robert Geller has the call of the Grade 1 Highlander on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The outside gate, the field for the Highlander Stakes, all in and locked up. Off they run, and Starter caught them well. Back to the tail, Wet Your Whistle. Showing early speed on the inside is Extravagant Kid. Sweeping to the front, Yorkton from Super Smart. Caribou Club is fourth, and then came Tricks to Do. And over on the inside, about 5 off the lead is El Tormenta from Detroit Steel, White Flag. And 2 lengths away last is Wet Your Whistle. Racing to the half mile. Out in front is Yorkton, shows the way by a length and a half. Right behind, though, are Extravagant Kid and Super Smart. And then a break in the field to Caribou Club on the inside. And in the center is Tricks to Do. Around the outside, White Flag. Wet Your Whistle, Detroit Steel towards the back. El Tormenta is last and off their heels as they corner. Down the lane in the Highlander, Yorkton in front. In second, Extravagant Kid issues the threat, and now Caribou Club on the outside of Super Smart. And trying to get home from a fairway back is Wet Your Whistle from last. Narrowly in the center, it's Extravagant Kid. Running home is El Tormenta on the inside. And Wet Your Whistle finishing like a train. Wet Your Whistle races past the entire field. And the Highlander Stakes to Wet Your Whistle by a length and a half. Second place to Extravagant Kid, then a show photo, White Flag, and El Tormenta. 1788.
Well, the connections of number 7, Wet Your Whistle, might be doing just that at the bar later on with a few of those Blue Diamonds that we talked about there, Jerry. What a performance here this afternoon. Just storming home from off the pace to blow by everybody for trainer Mike Trombetta under Alex Cintron.
Exactly. What a tremendous horse race here. The fast time, too, 1:07.88. It's amazing.
Jude, what was the key here this afternoon?
Well, I think the pace and the fact that the favorite didn't get much of a trip. White Flag didn't get out that well. He was kind of stuck in traffic, and that really opened the race up a little bit. And wet your whistle. I mean, he was trailing almost the entire time. He came from dead last to win.
Yeah, this is going to be a huge victory here today. Now 5-11 lifetime for Wet Your Whistle, who comes in his customary style from off the pace to pick up a fourth consecutive victory, three in a row with Alex Cintron aboard. We talked earlier about Sandy Hawley and what makes him so good. Alex Cintron can really ride.
Yes, he looked really good on this horse, and the horse really accelerated for him the last eighth of a mile.
All right, well, it is going to be number 7, Wet Your Whistle, over number 1, Extravagant Kid. It is number 8, that's White Flag, the 4-1 choice in him. Well, not favorite, but certainly one of the favorites. He's going to end up 3rd in this spot here this afternoon. And number 3, El Tormenta, rounding out the superfectas. So 7-1-8-3 unofficially here in the Grade 1 Highlander. We'll get to a break. We'll come back and wrap this one up and hear from trainer Mark Cassie. You're listening to the 160th Queen's Plate on HRRN, presented by Hillendale Farm and TwinSpires.com.
You're listening to the 160th Queen's Plate on HRRN, presented by Hillendale Farms and Twin Spires.
Well, don't forget that today kicks off the $5,000 Summer Stakes Series on TwinSpires.com. 10 races from Woodbine and Arlington are the key to earning bonus cash, and a $10 win bet will get you in the game. Saturday's contest races are the Chicago Handicap from Arlington and the Queen's Plate at Woodbine. And, of course, remember, Saratoga and Del Mar are just around the corner, so don't miss the summer racing season. All you have to do is join TwinSpires.com and do that today. New members, enter offer code HRRN, and you'll get your first $10, your first $10 bet absolutely free by doing that. It's promo code HRRN at signup at TwinSpires.com, and you can go to TwinSpires.com/offers for full contest details and opt in today. Well, the Grade 1 Highlander is now official. In a minute, we'll turn our attention toward the Gallop for the Guineas, the $1 million Queen's Plate, but let's wrap this one up for you. Number 7, Wet Your Whistle, getting the victory. A 4-year-old gelded son of Stroll out of the Belong to Me mare, Winlock's Glory Days. Bred in Kentucky by E.H. Lane III, owned by David Palmer, trained by Mike Trombetta. Alex Cintron was aboard for the winning ride this afternoon.
And number 7, Wet Your Whistle, a $15,000 yearling, wins a Grade 1, 930, 450, 350. Number 1, Extravagant Kid, 430, 310. Number 8, White Flag, 320. The $2 Exacta paid $38. The 20-cent Try, $18.08. The 20-cent Super, $89.03. The $2 Double paid $37.40. And the 20-cent pick 3 returned $17.06.
And to help us wrap up the Highlander, let's go back trackside and check in with Ashley Malou. Ashley?
Standing right next to the winner's circle, looking at the connection, smiling, getting their pictures taken. What an impressive performance from Wet Your Whistle. Talked to Mike briefly before. He was very impressed with this horse, stepping up to this graded stakes company for the first time and handling it so nicely. I mean, this horse ran huge from off the pace.
Yeah, ran a big, big race, and all smiles in the winner's circle are the connections of number 7, Wet Your Whistle, winner of the Grade 1 Highlander. 34 minutes away from the Queen's Plate, the $1 million event, mile and a quarter, signature event on the racing calendar here in Canada. As we told you, the oldest continuously run horse race in North America. A lot of history, a lot of tradition involved with the Queen's Plate, and somebody who is part of that is Hall of Fame trainer Mark Cassie, and what a run it has been over the course of the past 12 months for Mark. He swept the Canadian Triple Crown last year after taking the Queen's Plate with Wonder Godot, and then Nipawa won the third leg for him. So Wonder Godot taking the first two, Nipawa rounding out the Triple Crown for Mark in 2018. This year he comes back and takes 2/3 of the American Triple Crown, and he saddled his first winner, believe it or not, of all things, at the Great Barrington Fair in Massachusetts more than 40 years ago. Well, I sat down with Mark yesterday, and I started by asking him if he ever imagined at that point that he'd be sitting here today as a Hall of Fame trainer and a multiple classic winner.
No, I mean, if you'd asked me that 15 years ago even, you know, I just didn't know that it would ever, and I was, you know, from a little boy, I always wanted to accomplish those things, but to actually, you know, now be able to say that we've done it is just amazing to me.
Take me back to the moment when War of Will
cross the finish line in front in the Preakness this year?
It was, as far as, you know, any accomplishment we've ever achieved in racing, it was number one for so many reasons. One, to be able to win a classic and to be able to win a race that I've been watching since I was a little boy, to win one of those. And then given all the turmoil in the Kentucky Derby and the other thing, anybody that's been around me has known, I've praised War of Will for a long, long time, and for him to be able to show everybody what I've known about him for a long, you know, there was just so many things. And then I said to my wife, Tina, I said, I don't think I've ever hugged you so hard. And it was nice to do that and have her by my side as well.
Let's look ahead 3 weeks after the Preakness. And you come to the Belmont Stakes. War of Will comes into the race in fine shape. And it looks like the Preakness winner is sitting on a big race. And all of a sudden, here comes your other horse, Sir Winston, who gives you the victory in that race. Tell me about being in the moment there.
That was a strange moment. It didn't surprise me at all that Sir Winston won. We'd been saying all week long that he was sitting on an extremely good race. It was emotionally, a lot of people looked at me and said, you know, you just didn't seem as happy. But the best way to describe that is if you have two kids, right?
Yeah.
So I have my two children there. One just accomplished one of the greatest feats of all time for us, and the other one kind of had a bad day. And so you want to be happy for your one son or daughter, and then you feel bad for your other one. So it was a little bittersweet. I was so happy for the farmers, because they're wonderful people and they deserve it. And I was happy for Sir Winston. But in the same time, I was sad for War of Will and sad for Gary Barber. So, it was an entirely different feeling than the Preakness.
That's been a great relationship, Gary Barber and yourself. You go back a long way. Tell me about that relationship and how that started.
It's kind of crazy. You just, you know, you go back through your life and see how little things can mean so many. I had a horse called Patriotic and Proud. Aaron Wellman bought all of him from me. I owned part of him for Eclipse. And at the time, then Gary Barber bought a piece of him, and we had some success. He was a pretty nice horse. One day Gary called me and introduced himself and said, I'd like to be a little more prominent in Canada. And I said, well, that sounds good to me. And just, you know, we've had just amazing, amazing success. He's a great guy too, and we talk pretty well every day. He thinks out of the box. We're fortunate. If you look at a horse like Sir Winston, and his career, we took some crazy shots where a lot of owners wouldn't even let me run him in the races. I mean, I can still remember our conversation, Tracy and I. He had won the display here at Woodbine, and we were sitting in Ocala, and I said to Tracy, I said, we could go up and run in the Withers on the dirt, but he may get beat 40 lengths. As long as you're okay with that, I said, because I can't tell you whether he's going to run good or bad. He's an extremely different type of horse to train. And he goes, I'm good with it, let's try it. And we did that, and he ran well, and it led to other things. But there's what the old saying, if you're afraid to step off first, you can't steal second. So a lot of times, you know, that's what we're doing, and that's probably why you'll never see me be a high percentage trainer. But I also believe there's a lot of horses out there that wouldn't be where they were if I was that trainer, because I will. One thing about me, I'll run them, and I always say they're like puzzles. You have to keep trying the pieces. A lot of times the pieces don't fit, and when they don't fit, you go on to another piece. And that's my philosophy, and it's worked very well for me.
Let's turn our attention to what's going to happen at Woodbine this weekend in the Queen's Plate. You're going to be in search of a third victory. You're first with a horse that's not a filly.
I know. I was just going to say that. We're going to try to win one this time with a colt.
Yeah, it's so much luck with the ladies in the past, but the two horses you have this year, they're pretty talented, Skywire and Federal Law. Tell me a little bit about them.
They're two different horses. Federal Law, we're still, you know, the puzzle I was talking about, we're still playing with the pieces there. We're not exactly sure how they fit. We've tried a couple different running styles, and they haven't been as successful as I would have liked, so we're going to try a different one. I think his best chance and only chance to win is for him to rate a little bit and come running. Skywire's a little bit more, he's been done pretty well everything we've asked of him. He's ran hard. He runs well. I love the way both of them trained this morning. I think they're both going to be factors.
When you hear the words Queen's Plate, what are some of the things that immediately come to mind for you?
Well, again, you know, I've been a racing fan since I was a little boy, so I've known about the Queen's Plate since I was 5 or 6. In Canada, the Queen's Plate is everything. I mean, it's if you go around North America and somebody says you're a horse trainer, have you ever won the Kentucky Derby? If you're in Canada and somebody you say you're a horse trainer, they ask, have you ever won the Queen's Plate? So, you know, it's the tradition is unbelievable. So like I said, if we get a weanling Canadian bred, I'm thinking about the Queen's Plate.
Well, Hall of Famer Mark Cassie certainly thinking about the Queen's Plate now, 26 minutes away from the 160th renewal. The horses are in the paddock area being saddled. Mark will give a leg up to two jockeys later this afternoon with his two contenders that he just talked about. When we come back, we'll tell you the story of the first female trainer to be inducted into the Canadian Horse Racing Hall of Fame. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
You're listening to the 160th Queen's Plate on HRRN, presented by Hillendale Farms and Twin Spires.
Avi's Flatter, fifth between horses. Louder Than Bomb, center of the course, is in sixth. War Film is seventh toward the rail. Henley's Joy, last of eighth, moving by the quarter pole. On the way to Neverland, chased by the Black Album, second toward the inside. Avi's Flatter, Louder Than Bombs. Henley's Joy is still back in the sixth position. War Film looks for running room toward the rail. Avi's Flatter and the Black Album come forward to challenge on the way to Neverland. Avi's Flatter with the lead. Henley's Joy is coming fast but late. Here's the wire. Avi's Flatter wins the Kentucky Utilities Transylvania for Javier Castellano.
Welcome back to Woodbine in Toronto. Mike Penna, Jude Fell, Jerry Olguin, and Ashley Malou bringing you coverage of the 160th Gallop for the Guineas, which is now just 23 minutes away. Absolutely picture-perfect afternoon for the sport of kings here this afternoon with temperatures in the upper 70s, plenty of sunshine, just a few clouds that have made their way through from time to time, but it is mostly sunny here this afternoon. There is a bit of a breeze that is blowing from our right to left from the finish line down toward the top of the stretch, and guys, I have to tell you, we have the best vantage point in the entire place to watch this race here today. We are so blessed, looking straight out at more than 700 acres that comprise Woodbine and this particular racetrack, and it is a great afternoon for thoroughbred racing.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Everybody's having a great time. Ashley's told us that the crowd keeps filing in. Everybody wants to see the plate, and it's going to be a great race.
Yeah, Jerry, you're based here. This is a special moment here. We're seeing the marching bands come through the Toronto pipe band, the bagpipers, and that's always a fun thing.
Yeah, everything's great. This facility is just going to get better, too, with a new hotel they're building here and the new casino, and it's just Canada's racing is just keeps growing and growing.
Well, trainer Josie Carroll is the only female ever to saddle a winner of the Queen's Plate. She's done that on two different occasions. On August 7th, Josie will be recognized with horse racing's highest honor. She will be inducted into the Canadian Horse Racing Hall of Fame. And as you'll hear, it has been the journey of a lifetime for Josie.
Everyone who takes out a thoroughbred trainer's license hopes for a Hall of Fame career. And although many are called, few are chosen.
Big wins in signature events certainly promote the cause, and as trainer Josie Carroll knows, nothing will get you into the Canadian Hall of Fame faster than a Queen's Plate victory.
It's our showcase race. It's a race that the whole country is aware of. So in a sport that doesn't get a lot of attention or recognition, it's something that Canadians all recognize.
Carroll won her first Queen's Plate in 2006 with Jim and Alice Sapara's Edenwald.
That was a huge moment for me. You know, growing up in Canada, this was such a showcase race for us. I mean, it's our version of the Derby. I mean, it's run for 160 years, you know, so it was really monumental, and it was a big moment for some owners that early in my career had taken a chance on me, so it was particularly nice to win for them.
In 2011, Carroll would get her second Queen's Plate with Donver Stables Inglorious.
She was an exceptional filly, and coming off her Canadian Oaks win, she just got better. You know, we hesitated a little coming back with a filly in 3 weeks, but she just improved so much off that race that it seemed the move to go with her. Race day was very, very hot. I recall horses were all getting hot in the paddock. We had walked around there for a very long time. She was just so cool and collected. In fact, when she got bored in the paddock and tired of walking around, she put her head down and tried to graze on us in the middle. At that point, we knew she was going to run the race of her life when she was just so collected as everybody was kind of losing it. So, you know, to see her coming down the stretch and just dominate the way she did was very exciting.
Those victories and $45 million in purses, coupled with many graded stakes wins at storied North American tracks like Keeneland, Churchill Downs, Gulfstream Park, and Saratoga, have earned Carroll her place in the Canadian Hall of Fame.
You know, something as a kid coming around the races you'd never in your life have expected to happen. I just find it a huge honor, and I really appreciate the people that have put me in there. You know, I was fortunate to work for two Hall of Famers. Mac Benson, who trained for Winfield, was one of the first people I worked for on the racetrack. And, you know, I did a couple of years with Roger Atfield. So two tremendous trainers that helped mentor me. And it's such an honor to have my name beside theirs.
With all the personal success in her tremendous career, it is not surprising that Carroll considers the minutes after her first Queen's Plate win with Edenwald her fondest memory.
He was galloping back in front of the crowd. And as he came back, there was this wave of cheering that sort of swept through the grandstand, and it was such a moment of pure appreciation for the horse and what he's done. It's a moment that always stands out in my memory.
For Hall of Fame trainer Josie Carroll, it's always about the horse. What will she say if she wins another Queen's Plate this afternoon?
Extraordinary.
Yeah, and you could say that Josie Carroll and her career have been extraordinary. It's been a great ride for her, and she hopes it only gets better later this afternoon when she sends out last year's two-year-old male champion here in Canada, Avies Flatter, the morning line favorite, and he's a macho man. For more on those two horses, let's go down trackside and check in with Ashley.
Thanks, Mike. I think both of these horses look very live in here, and it's not surprising to see Avies Flatter as the current favorite. And coming off a nice win two back in the Transylvania at Keeneland, then just, you know, not a horrible race last time out, finishing sixth, beaten by two lengths in the American Turf. But I kind of like it, you know, the other horse a little bit more. He's a macho man. He's the least experienced of the entire field with only three starts, but I think if you look at his most recent race, he was closing nicely and he rated. And I think in here, some of these horses are going to come from further back. I think he's going to get an ideal trip. And he definitely has a better post position than his stablemate.
Yeah, we'll find out in just a little bit. 18 minutes to post. The horses have been saddled. They saddle inside here at Woodbine, then make their way outside to a huge, sprawling walking ring. That's where the jockeys will meet the trainers and the owners, get the final instructions, and then get a leg up. Jerry, in just a few minutes, the horses will make their way onto the track, and much like we see in the Kentucky Derby, where they come onto the track to the playing of My Old Kentucky Home, here they come onto the playing of the Maple Leaf Forever, which is going to be sung today by Canadian country singer Natasha Zimbaro. That moment coming up in just a little bit. But as a jockey, as somebody who has ridden in five Queen's Plates, what are these moments like here right now?
Well, it makes you feel like you accomplished something just riding in this race. It's a huge honor just to be part of it and riding and competing in it.
And there are veteran jockeys, there are first-time jockeys, and there are first-time trainers, as we talked about earlier, Jude. So for the trainers, what's it like as a trainer in a big race like this?
Well, I never got to run in the Derby or the Plate, unfortunately. But anytime you're in a big race, you know, you got the butterflies, you want to win. You realize you're in tough, usually. There's no easy way to win a big race. So everything has to go right, and some days you're lucky and some days you're not. But you just have to try to do what you do, control what you can control, and let everything else go.
Four jockeys will be making this trip onto the Tapeda racing surface for the first time before the Queen's Plate. And Ashley, for one family in particular, this could be a very special day.
Yes, Jeffrey Alderson is going to pilot Kraken Wagon in here for Angus Butane. And quite the story here, he's been riding this horse since day one when they broke the maiden in October. But I think the cool thing, too, is in his family, his wife actually got her first win earlier this week at Fort Erie as a rider. So this could turn out to be quite the week for them.
It could be a very special week. And Kraken Wagon, number three, a big long shot in here at odds of 57-1, named for the bumper car ride at nearby Wonderland Theme Park here in Canada. Do you ever ride the Kraken Wagon?
No, I don't do the team rides too much.
Eating those maple cookies they have up here in the press box, that's like riding the Kraken Wagon.
Those are delicious.
Unbelievable. Off the hook good.
How'd you like to be riding Kraken Wagon in the Queen's Plate today?
You know what? If I was still riding, I wouldn't care. If it's 100 to 1, 50 to 1, if they put me on a horse, I'd love to ride it.
Yeah. Ashley tells that story. And, of course, as she talked about, Jeffrey going to be one of the four jockeys coming onto the track here for the first time in the Queen's Plate. Do you remember the first time you did that?
Yeah, absolutely. When I was coming out and when they start playing that song, you feel like butterflies on your stomach and, you know, like tears come to your eyes because, you like I said, you felt like you accomplished something in your life, you know, because like, in your career as a jockey.
Even if you don't win, just coming onto the track, yes. Just being here, being
part
of it.
I mean, you want to win as bad as anybody, as the next guy, but it doesn't happen that often, but there can only be one winner, unfortunately.
Well, the horses, again, out back in the walking ring, they made their way from the inside saddling enclosure, and in just a few minutes, those jockeys will get the call for riders up. From a trainer standpoint, Jude, what are the trainers, most of the trainers going to be doing here in terms of waiting for those jockeys to get there? And then were you a trainer that would give a lot of instructions to the jockey, or did you just say, hey, you know what, I put you on the horse for a reason, you go ride this horse?
Yeah, I didn't give many instructions, and I bet you Jerry can attest to that, because I think he rode his second or third mount for me, and you know, I didn't tell him anything. I think I might have said, have a good time, just enjoy being out there, and you know, there's nothing really you can do. Everybody's trying to win. The jocks usually know what they're riding. I mean, he was a bug, he had no experience, I knew that. You know, and the horse he was riding probably wasn't the biggest champion in the world either. but you know, he did a fine job, and that's what you need. You need somebody to give you a chance and have some experience, and then you go on and learn things. And then the top jocks, you can't give them instructions because they don't listen to you anyway.
Are you able to tell if your horse is ready to run the minute they walk into the paddock, or do you have to wait and see him on the track?
Sometimes you know right away.
Really?
The horses come into the paddock, and they look around, and they get this glow about them, like they look at the competition, they go, I can beat these horses, and they get all pumped up, their veins pop out, you know. It you tell people that and they don't believe you, but it's really true.
No, you know what, last year when I was working, I brought a couple horses to the paddock after I retired from racing and helping Gail Cox, and coming, and the horses, it's almost like a boxer when they come in. Some horses know and they start prancing and they start feeling good and they know what's coming up.
How about when you got a leg up and you were on their back? How long did it take you to know if that horse was the same horse you had been riding?
Not very long. As soon as you get on him, you start connecting with the horse, you know, and that was my favorite thing, is to get a leg up, because you don't want to be just standing there talking. It's more nervous just standing there talking to the trainer and owner, because there's not much to talk about. The stage is already set and you're ready to go.
This is the first leg of the Canadian Triple Crown, so we often draw parallels to the Triple Crown in the United States and the Kentucky Derby, which is the first leg of the Triple Crown in the U.S. And so often when we do that coverage, we talk about horses and trying to keep them calm when they come onto the track, because there's 150,000, 160,000 people. Not quite the same crowd here. We're probably looking at maybe between 30,000 and 40,000, but it's still the biggest crowd that many of these horses have been in front of. How do you keep them calm?
Absolutely. Well, you try to talk to your horse with the body language. Maybe you take your feet out of the irons. Maybe you pat them. Whatever needs to be done. But yeah, some of these horses haven't never seen this crowd and the music playing, and it's going to be different for them too.
Ashley touched on the fact earlier in the broadcast that there are two horses looking for their first win in the Queen's Plate today. Both of those, what they call maidens in the world of thoroughbred racing. Number two, Moon Swings. Number 13, Rising Star. Jude, Rising Star stayed inside in the inside saddling enclosure after all the other horses were saddled. Why? Why would they do that?
Well, sometimes horses get nervous in big crowds, or they don't handle being in the open. They like a more confined space. So every trainer knows their horse, and they're going to do what they think is the best thing, have their horse as prepared as possible, as calm and relaxed. So that's the trainer's decision usually. You have to get approval from the stewards to break the post-parade or whatever, but it's usually just a formality.
Yeah, the excitement building as we do edge closer to post time. 12 minutes to post for the 160th renewal of the Queen's Plate. The horse is making their way toward the synthetic Tapeta racing surface now, and if you are just joining us, it is a gorgeous day for thoroughbred racing. Couldn't ask for any better. Temperatures in the upper 70s, a fast Tapeta racing surface. This racetrack awash in sunshine, and there you go. There's the call to the post, and this is the moment, Jer. This is where it starts to get real, my friend.
Yes, it is. Like, you concentrated now, and all you concentrated is on your horse and trying to keep him calm.
Right. Well, Natasha Zimbaro is going to provide us with the singing of the Maple Leaf Forever here in just a couple of moments as the horses do set foot onto the track. The first to greet the crowd, if you will, is going to be the filly, number one, Desert Ride. And when they come onto the track, by the way, they come on to our far right, which is past the finish line, and then they make their way back toward the finish line. We'll tell you more about that in just a minute. Here's Natasha Zimbaro.
A scent of freedom in the wind, or the emerald fields below. To thee we brought our hopes, our dreams. For thee we stand together. Our land of peace, where proudly flies the maple leaf forever. Long may it wave and grace our own blue skies and stormy weather. Within my heart, above my home, the maple leaf forever.
Ladies and gentlemen, Natasha Zimbaro.
Yeah, Natasha Zimbaro indeed, a great renewal of the Maple Leaf Forever. We are just 9 minutes away from the Queen's Plate. You're listening to live coverage on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Hillendale Farms and TwinSpires.com.
You're listening to the 160th Queen's Plate on HRRN, presented by Hillendale Farms and Twin Spires.
In the lead at the 5/16 Corduroy Road, a half a length super success. Federal Law on the inside, My Silence Appeals three wide, Dundrum tapped up, and down the lane they come in the Queenston. Corduroy Road in front. Federal Law looking for room, will have to try again. Down the outside, My Silence is going up, and Dundrum finishing well. My Silence hit the front. Dundrum trying to wear down My Silence, and they'll battle it out with Federal Law. And it's My Silencer in front. Federal Law coming. Federal Law coming right through on the inside to win it. Federal Law got up to win the Queenston. Has a bright future. My Silencer second. Dundrum third. Behind them, Super Success and Corduroy Road.
Big effort from Federal Law in the Queenston Stakes. Two starts back. That was right here at Woodbine on May 19th. Robert Geller with the call. Federal Law, a three-year-old gelded son of Scat Daddy, currently on the board at odds of 13-1. He is one of two horses in the race for Mark Cassie, and he was bred by Jim Dandy Stables. That is the stable name of Woodbine CEO Jim Lawson. So best of luck to Jim and to the entire team here with Federal Law coming up in the Queen's Plate. Mike Pennett, Jude Feld, Jerry Olguin, and Ashley Malou back with you at Woodbine. Our producer Michelle Penna getting set for the 160th renewal. Now just 4 minutes away. The party building to a crescendo, and just a short time ago, Ashley had a chance to stop by the Lexus tent here at Woodbine and catch up with star linebacker Simone Lawrence, who plays for the Hamilton Tiger Cats here in the Canadian Football League.
Thanks, Mike. Well, the atmosphere in the Lexus tent is quite wild. It's a lot of fun, a lot of music, and I'm joined by Simone Lawrence, who looks like he's celebrating a big win yesterday over the Montreal Alouettes, 41-10.
Yeah, it was an amazing team win. Everybody played their butts off. It's exciting that we get to come to such an amazing event. It's so cool. Everybody's having fun, just having a great time. It's a great atmosphere.
You've been in the Queen's Plate before. Have you looked at the race at all? Do you know who you're going to pay?
I always double check with, I don't think I could say his name because it might be cheating, but I double check, and when I find out the good horses, I'll definitely put some money on it.
What do you think of the atmosphere here right now?
It's amazing. Everybody's just here having fun, doing what they do. Like, everybody's dancing, having a great time, and, like, it's just a fun environment for all ages. Except if you can't drink, I wouldn't come, really.
Well, there you have it. I think Simone wants to get back to dancing, so I'm going to let you go. Good luck this season with the Tiger Cats.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Linebacker Simone Lawrence having a little fun with Ashley Malou just a short time ago, the three-time CFL All-Star. Spent some years in the NFL, too, but he is here in the Canadian Football League now and really doing well and enjoying Queen's Plate Day as so many people are. Guys, we are about 3 minutes away, just over that, from the running of the Queen's Plate. So let's go ahead and meet the field as they begin to make those final preparations and head toward the starting gate. 1.25 miles on the Tapeda Racing surface, which is listed as fast here this afternoon. $1 million is the purse, and there are 14 Canadian-bred three-year-olds set to go. Number one, the filly, the lone filly in this year's edition. That is Desert Ride, owned by Samson Farm, trained by Neil Howard, ridden by Steve Bayon.
Desert Ride, she's carrying five pounds less than the boys. She's the only filly in the race, and she's won 3 out of her last 4 races.
She's been good, and she does get that weight break. She's on the board at 9-2. Number two is Moon Swings, owned by Zilly Racing Stables, one of 2 maidens in this year's field. Trained by Mike DiPaolo, Jesse Campbell is aboard.
Well, he might be a maiden, but he finished third behind Davies Flatter twice. Adds blinkers today for trainer Mike DiPaolo, and maybe that'll help him.
Big long shot, 47-1. Number three is Kraken Wagon, owned by Green Oaks Farm Racing Stable. August Buntain is the trainer. Jeffrey Alderson, the jockey.
Oh, what a great win it'll be for Angus Buntain. It'll be his first win of the season and the biggest race of Canada.
Yeah, it would be huge. 69-1, though, on Kraken Wagon here in the Queen's Plate. Number four, Pay Four Piece. Team Penny Racing and Carum Stables are the owners. Rachel Halden is the trainer, and she will give a leg up to jockey Rafael Hernandez.
Yeah, Rachel Halden having a great meet, winning at a 32% clip. This horse won the plate trial last time out. That's the prep race for today's event, so you got to give him a look.
30-1 on Pay for Peace. Maybe an upset here. Number five, One Bad Boy, owned by CJ Racing, Greg Hall and Brooke Hubbard. Richard Baltus trains, and jockey Flavian Pratt, who took the Kentucky Derby earlier this year, he's aboard.
One Bad Boy, Flavian Pratt, tried to take the Kentucky Derby and the Queen's Plate, and the blinkers are coming off this horse. I guess they're trying to get him to settle early.
Yeah, the Derby, Queen's Plate double, that would be a heck of a daily double for Flavian if he can pull it off. One Bad Boy on the board at 5-1. Number six is Lucas and Lori, owned by Lori Cirillo and Kelly Waxman. Kevin Attar trains. Kazushi Kimura, the 19-year-old native of Japan, is aboard.
Kimura's having a ridiculously good meet, and this horse hasn't run well this year at all. He's still eligible in non-winners of two. Needs the race of his life to win.
87-1 on Lucas and Lori. Number seven, Federal Law, owned by Cutter Racing Limited. Mark Cassie, the 11-time Sovereign Award winner, is the trainer. Jamie Spencer is the jockey.
Federal Law, I've seen his races. He's been trying to go a little too fast on the front. They bring in champion jockey Jamie Spencer from overseas and trying to get the money here today.
Yeah, 14-1 on Federal Law. Number eight, He's a Macho Man. Discola Boys Racing Stable are the owners. Josie Carroll, the Hall of Fame trainer, Patrick Husbands, is the pilot.
He's won 2 races in 3 starts on the Tapeda, ran on the dirt at Gulfstream Park, did not run well, finished 9th, beaten 33, but he hit the gate and had a trouble trip. Josie calls him her sleeper.
He's 10-1 as He's a Macho Man. Number nine, Suited Connected. Joe Trimbari is the owner. Robert Barnett is the trainer. Gary Boulanger, the jockey.
Boulanger, who's won over 4,000 races, trying to get the win here with a 50-1 shot.
Yeah, big price too. He's all the way up now to 95-1. Jerry, how about that? Suited Connected. Number 10, Skywire, owned by Gary Barber and Lou Tucci. Mark Cassie trains. Eurico Da Silva will ride.
He's a big winner in the Wando Stakes. Finished 2nd in the Marine Stakes. Has a big chance today.
5-2. He's your favorite now, is Skywire in the Queen's Plate. Number 11, Tone Broke, owned by LNN Racing. Racing, Steve Asmus and the Hall of Fame trainer Luis Contreras is aboard.
Tom Brokaw, he's a stable of the barn that I work for. This horse looks great in the morning. Steve Asmussen looking for his first Queen's Plate win.
He's 10-1 is Tone Broke. Number 12, Jammin' Still, Derek A. Chin, the owner. Kevin Attard, the trainer, gives a leg up to jockey Alan Garcia.
Yeah, he's still eligible for non-winners at two. Finished seventh last time in the plate trial. He's going to have to move it up.
Yeah, and he is currently a big price at odds of 68-1. Number 13, Rising Star. Billy Racing Stable's own Rising Star, Mike DiPaolo trains Justin Stein, will ride.
Rising Star, he came flying on the plate trial, got beat by a length and three quarters. A son of Go Sapper should be able to get the mile and a quarter.
He's 47-1, big price. Number 14, AV's Flatter. The two-year-old champion from last year here in Canada, owned by Ivan Delos, Josie Carroll trains, Hall of Famer Javier Castellano is aboard this afternoon.
Yeah, not surprising, he won the two best two-year-old races in Canada last year. He won the Grade 3 Transylvania at Keeneland this year. Probably the deserved favorite.
Yeah, top board reading 5-2. Now second choice. A bit more money bet to win on Skywire at also odds of 5-2. So they are both there, but Skywire getting a bit more money here. So he's your favorite with just a couple of minutes to post time. For more, let's go down trackside and get a check in with Ashley. Ashley, what can you tell us?
Well, I was looking at both of Josie's horses because coming into today, I thought both of them had a live shot. But actually, I'm going to go with the price in here with he's a macho man. I thought he looked great on the track. He's sitting at 11-1 currently. And I mentioned earlier, he is the least experienced, but I think he's coming into form at the right time. Now, this company is much tougher than he's faced in the past. But when horses start to get good, I mean, they just continue to improve.
Yeah, they do continue to improve, and he has certainly done that as he's a macho man. The horses now to our far left, that's where the starting gate is at the very top of the stretch. So when they break out, they'll make one run through the stretch under the line the first time and then another lap all the way around. Mile and a quarter, just like the Kentucky Derby. This the first leg of the Canadian Triple Crown. Guys, who do you like? Jude?
Oh, I'm going with Steve Asmussen's horse, Tone Broke.
I'm going to pick the filly Desert Ride out of the one hole. She just won the Oaks. Maybe she can come back with the plate.
All right, I'm going to have to go with the favorite here. I'm going to have to go with Skywire for my man Mark Cassie, see if he can pull it off and get a third victory. Would be his first with a horse that is not a filly. Both of his other wins coming with the girls, trying to win it with a boy here this afternoon. Just a couple of horses behind the starting gate now as they have begun to load for the 160th Gallop for the Guineas. Who will take the first leg of the Canadian Triple Crown? We're going to find out momentarily. Couple more horses moving forward. Here comes number six. That is long shot Lucas and Lori looking to pull off a big upset here this afternoon. There's number 10. That is Skywire moving in. Again, one of two for trainer Mark Cassie. Just a couple more behind the starting gate will be underway. The 160th running of the Queen's Plate. Robert Geller has the call on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The field is now all in. Locked up. And they're off in the 160th Queen's Plate, and Skywire badly inconvenienced out the gate. And by Tone Broke, AV's Flatter got out pretty well out wide, and One Bad Boy the center shares the early lead. On the inside, Moon swings and Kraken Wagon is handy. AV's Flatter getting across about four off the inside is up in third as they work their way down the stretch, and it's going to be One Bad Boy leading past the wire. By a length to AV's Flatter, Moon swings, Federal Law, Tone Broke the outside. On the rail is Kraken Wagon, who is mid-pack, and then came on the outside, Suited Connected. As they work their way out the stretch, Jammin' Still is next. He's a macho man's in the center, and Desert Ride tucked up on the inside, and towards the back, Skywire. And also Pay for Peace over on the inside as Rising Star goes around them three wide. And last is Lucas and Laurie. Controlling terms is One Bad Boy. And Flavien Prat on top. AV's Flatter right behind, getting within a half a length. And they're out by a length and a half on the inside. Moon swings. Tone Broke the udder. Federal Law in fifth. A length and a half to Kraken Wagon. Now the filly's off the inside. Desert Ride. She's picking up ground. One and a half to He's a Macho Man. Jammin' Still. And in behind them came Rising Star, Skywire. On the rails, Pay for Peace from Lucas and Laurie. And last is Suda Connected. They race into the turn, and showing the way is still One Bad Boy. AV's Flatter, one away second. Tone Broke on the outside, called on, and the top three got away. Moonswing struggling. Then came Federal Law, now going to the challenge for the lead. AV's Flatter in the Queen's Plate. AV's Flatter breathing down the neck of One Bad Boy, and they raced out by two lengths to Tone Broke. The rest are well back and down the home stretch. It is a battle royale. One Bad Boy and Evie's Flatter, stride to stride, a furlong to run. One Bad Boy, One Bad Boy, never looked better and has got the Queen's Plate well and truly won. One Bad Boy, three lengths. Evie's Flatter second, Tonebroke third, He's a Macho Man fourth, and Desert Ride was fifth, 2.298.
Well, what a year for jockey Flavion Pratt as he wins the Kentucky Derby in May, comes here, and he takes Canada's version of the Kentucky Derby with One Bad Boy. And, guys, there was some controversy surrounding that victory in the Kentucky Derby in early May. I don't think you're going to have any controversy here today. One Bad Boy just took it to him here this afternoon, and when Avey's Flatter came to him at the top of the stretch, looked like he could go right by, One Bad Boy said, not today, this is my Queen's Plate.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a tremendous performance. Flavion rating the horse nicely on the lead and had plenty left in the stretch. All the naysayers that said this horse couldn't go that far, I guess they're going to have to eat a little crow tonight.
Yeah, I guess taking the blinkers off this horse was the key to victory.
Yeah, really helped them relax on the front end. If you take a look at this trip here today, One Bad Boy had a beautiful trip. He stayed out of trouble. So did Avey's Flatter, just not good enough to get by him here today.
You couldn't have ridden Avey's Flatter any better, I don't think. Saved a ton of ground from the 14 hole and, you know, perfect trip, but wasn't good enough.
How about Flavion Pratt? What a year for this kid, huh?
It's amazing.
He's an amazing rider. He's really in a different class. He really is very, very good.
When you're in the zone, you're in the zone, you know, like everything happens good. Things keep flowing.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot, right? It's like a hitter in baseball who gets in that zone and he sees the ball so well. Flavion Pratt is seeing the ball so well right now every time
exactly.
He gets a leg up.
And the fractions he got for this race, I mean, they usually going to go 47. He got like a 49, and he just slowed it right down and put him to sleep.
One Bad Boy, a three-year-old son of Twirling Candy, going to win his second career race here this afternoon. Now 2 for 5 lifetime, and a horse that has never in his career finished worse than third. So he is as honest as they come, and as Jerry alluded to, taking the blinkers off here today seemed to make the trick and do the trick here, JT.
Yeah, no, it's nice when you can get a horse to relax, especially going a mile and a quarter. And this horse, he seems to be able to shut off at will, so it's very nice to ride a horse like that, and a great job by trainer Richard Baltus.
Jerry talked about the fractions being somewhat sensible in here, 49.52 for the half mile. They went three quarters in 114.18, and the mile in 137.83. They finished up, as Robert said at the end of his call, 202.98, so the fractions very sensible.
Yeah, very sensible, and you know the horse came all the way from California and he's been here for a couple weeks, and they just did a tremendous job. Heads off to Richard Baltus.
Number 5, One Bad Boy, now starting to make his way back toward the winner's circle here at Woodbine. Ashley Malou is down below. This is quite a scene now as the winner comes back, much like you would expect in a race that is the equivalent of the Kentucky Derby in the United States, the first leg of Canada's Triple Crown. Ashley, what can you tell us?
I mean, that was quite the performance. Got the easy fractions early on. I'm going to try to grab Javier Castellano real quick. Tell us about the trip, Javi. It looked like it set up nicely. You had a good stocking, but the fractions didn't go your way.
No, he did. Actually, he did. Very relaxed. I don't think I have any concern a little bit. I think it's second best. If I would have a horse, I would have won the race because the winner was in the lead. I was right next to him. We went slow. He went slow. I went too slow. I think a perfect trip. Fortunately, second best today.
All right, thanks, Javier. Back to you, Mike.
Yeah, second best. Good trip. He did. He sat right behind the winner, One Bad Boy. They were 1-2 around the racetrack here in the Queen's Plate and just unable to get by. And he did. He made a good move. Jerry looked like he was going to get past him, but just unable to get by him.
Yeah, you know, the only thing I can see, I mean, he rode a perfect race. Avey's Flatter just hasn't run since the 4th of May, so he's been off for a couple months, and that could have cost him the victory.
Good point, Jude. You brought that up earlier. Could that have cost him here today?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's tough to run a mile and a quarter off a couple-month layoff like that. These horses aren't accustomed to doing that. They're not used to running a mile and a quarter in the first place. So it was a big task. Josie did a good job. She had him ready. He ran a winning race. He just got beat by a better horse on the day. And this bodes well for the Triple Crown, I think, because the second leg should favor speed. And this horse looks like he can go a mile and a half if he gets the easy fractions. Yeah, so.
We'll continue to wrap up the Queen's Plate when we come back. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
You're listening to the 160th Queen's Plate on HRRN, presented by Hillendale Farms and Twin Spires.
Avi's Flatter breathing down the neck of One Bad Boy, and they raced out by two lengths to Tonebroke. The rest are well back and down the home stretch. It is a battle royale. One Bad Boy and Avi's Flatter stride to stride, a furlong to run. One Bad Boy, One Bad Boy never looked better and has got the Queen's Plate well and truly won. One Bad Boy, three lengths. Avi's Flatter second, Tonebroke third, He's a Macho Man fourth, and Desert Ride was fifth, 2-2-98.
One Bad Boy takes the Queen's Plate here in 2019, a three-year-old son of Twirling Candy out of the Stormy Atlantic mare Cumulonimble. Bred in Ontario by Ron Clarkson, owned by Say J Racing, Greg Hall and Brooke Hubbard, Richard Baltus the winning trainer, Flavion Pratt aboard for the winning ride. JT?
Yeah, that was fantastic, and I don't know if we have the prices yet because there's an inquiry.
Yeah, that's right, too. They posted that just as we were in the commercial break. Does not involve the official winner here. This is not going to be a Kentucky Derby situation. It involves the start of the race with Tonebroke breaking in and interfering with Skywire, among others.
Yeah, it looked like it just bumped him there a little bit. Sometimes there's not much you can do on the first jump, which it looked like it happened, but this, the outcome could change in this race.
One Bad Boy now making his way onto the infield turf course. They have the winner's circle set up with a horseshoe-shaped row of hedges, and that is where he is going, much like we see on the first Saturday in May. That is on the inside of the new inner turf course, right by one of the two ponds in the infield here, actually three ponds here at Woodbine. And there you have it, One Bad Boy. He is in the lime green colors of the winning connections. He has the garland draped across his withers. And Flavion Pratt, he knows his way to the winner's circle in these big races. He is there again. For more, let's go downstairs and get a check with Ashley. Ashley, what can you tell us?
Well, the horse has just gotten into the inner winner circle, and it's quite crowded. And we see, you know, the crowd is still here for this last race. But I thought that the performance from One Bad Boy was quite impressive, considering that most recent race at Golden Gate, he just didn't have enough to retain his lead. He had to settle for second. He was just caught late. So to see him go a mile and a quarter today was quite impressive.
Yeah, relaxed beautifully on the front end. As Javier Castellano said, he had a good trip too with one of the favorites, Avi's Flatter, just unable to get past the winner here this afternoon. And One Bad Boy and his connections in the winner's circle here at Woodbine. We'll get to another break. We'll come back and pass along all the prices. You're listening to the 160th Queen's Plate on HRRN, presented by Hillendale Farm and TwinSpires.com.
You're listening to the 160th Queen's Plate on HRRN, presented by Hillendale Farms and Twin Spires.
Today's broadcast of the 2019 Queen's Plate is intended solely for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any reproduction, retransmission, or other use of this broadcast without the express written consent of the Horse Racing Radio Network is strictly prohibited. Well, back at Woodbine, where the trophy presentation from Lieutenant Governor Elizabeth Dodswell is being made right now, they are doing that on the platform above that winner's circle in the infield. And JT, the results are official. The inquiry, again, did not involve any of the top finishers, so those results do not change. Your winner, One Bad Boy.
Number 5, One Bad Boy, $970, $484. Number 14, Avi's Flatter, $432.80. Number 11, Tonebroke, $850. The $2 exacta paid $38.30. The 20-cent try, $40.45. The 20-cent super, $355.34. The $2 double paid $49.90. The 20-cent pick 3, $12.53. And the 20-cent pick 5, $136.71.
And as part of that pageantry, the continuing pageantry for the winner of the Queen's Plate, the Toronto Police Pipe Band back on that new inner turf course. You have the Toronto Police Mounted Unit and the Governor General's Horse Guards who have come back out with the Lieutenant Governor's carriage. And shortly after she makes the trophy presentation, she will make her way there and and depart Woodbine. But this has been a very special day here today, Jerry.
Yeah, it sure was. What a great day for racing. Thanks for having me on the show. I really enjoyed it, and it was so much fun watching the races from up here.
Yeah, one bad boy. What, on to Fort Erie next? What do you think?
I sure hope so. We need a Canadian Triple Crown, and you know, this horse looks like the real deal.
Jude, special day.
Yeah, it was fantastic, and I think he will go on to the Triple Crown and hopefully win it all.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he looks like he could be tough. If he does, he will become yet another Triple Crown winner in the history of Canadian racing. There have not been many. I believe the total is 7. The last to do it, Wando, in 2003. There have been 13 in the U.S., but one bad boy will look to become number 8 as he moves on to the next leg. That's going to do it here from Woodbine. Today's broadcast of the 2019 Queen's Plate has been brought to you by Hillendale Farm and TwinSpires.com. We'd like to thank our entire team for today's race, producers Lee Delapina and my beautiful wife Michelle on site with us, and of course Chanel Cacho for doing her thing back in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studio. Production assistance provided by Keith O'Brien and Justin Taylor. Special thanks to Jim Lawson, Eric Parente, Brittany Mayotte, Ben Liu, and Derek Valenzuela here at Woodbine, where one bad boy has won the Queen's Plate and will likely have his sights set on the second leg of the Canada Triple Crown, the Prince of Wales, at Fort Erie on July 23rd. Make sure you join us starting July 13th as we kick off our Saturdays at Saratoga series, bringing you exclusive radio coverage of Saratoga's major stakes every Saturday throughout the meet. Listen throughout North America on SiriusXM and online. Now for Jude Fell, Jerry O'Gean, and Ashley Malou, I'm Mike Penna. Thanks for joining us from Woodbine.